For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Chuck, it is drive-in movie day. How often did you used to fog up those windows back in the day, man?
Well, I tried a lot, but I don't know how many times I actually fogged them up. But, I did the drive-in back in the day.
Yeah. It was kind of like, you were batting against Hagen Smith. There were a lot of strikeouts in that area.
Oh, yeah. I was a total dork, believe me. But, I missed the drive-in. Changed. That's right. That's exactly right. there was a drive-in in my hometown. And went there quite a bit. And, I went to the 112 when I was a young college, and then, as a young adult, and sad to see it go when it went. But it was, it was great.
Yeah, that was one disappointing aspect of my college. I never did that once. I think I went, there was a place in Central Arkansas, I actually remember, that we went as a family one time. But I did miss out on the fogging windows, unfortunately, Tommy.
I I'm 48, and I've never been to a drive-in movie. They had one on Midland in Fort Smith, and if it was operable, it was when I was a young kid. But that was the drive-in theater in Fort Smith. And then I remember the 112. I never went to it. I think the two that are left is Poto, Oklahoma, and then Marshall, Arkansas. And I think one of those may have, I think maybe Marshall's inoperable, but Marshall, Arkansas had one still recently, and Poto still has one. So those are the last two I know of.
Go to Poto. Drive over to Poto. It's easy.
I don't want to go by myself. I'll have to find a young lady to go with. I will say movie theaters.
That's probably, you don't want to go by yourself.
Yeah, it's looked a little weird.
That sends a bad message.
Movie theaters are going by the wayside, I will say.
That's beyond a red flag, Chuck. I'm not sure what it would be, but that would be more than just a red flag.
That's a double red flag.
On top of.
Do not get in the water.
On top of all of them. Well, Chuck, we were talking before you came on, big night for Daniel Gafford, but one of the interesting NBA storylines right now, and I misspoke earlier, I get Bobby and Danny mixed up. Bobby played at Duke, Arizona State right now. He's got a good recruiting class. The Lakers, according to ESPN, are targeting Danny Hurley, UConn head coach. Back-to-back
ESPN's
national.
Reporting?
Yeah, which yes. I found, like, I don't
That's
think...
That's interesting.
Y'all help me on this. Like, his college style works. It's rare that he can coach the way he does and it still work with the players that he's managed to get the most out of. I don't see his style working at all at the next level. Am I off base on that?
Well, I don't know if you are or not, but that doesn't matter. The Lakers are one of those jobs that you don't turn down. I don't know if they are seriously pursuing him or not. I mean, obviously the report says that they are. Mm-hmm. If that report's accurate, if, for example, they offer Danny Hurley the job, he will take it.
It's Wojnarowski, you know, reporting it, yeah. I believe. So
But now that doesn't necessarily mean they've offered him the job. Pursuing can mean a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And pursuing's one of those terms that, you know, you can take it one way and it might mean something else. But if they offer him the job, he will take it. There are certain jobs in sports that transcend your personnel, that transcend the outlook for next year, that transcend everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers are one of those jobs.
And we go to the home of the Yellow Jackets, where I think that's what's Clinton's mascot, Tommy? Isn't he Clinton Yellow? Yeah, all right.
That's what
I thought. Where Jason is this morning. Jason, you wanted to comment on this Dan Hurley news, possibly.
Y'all beat me to it. I was just going to call and let y'all know what I heard this morning. But I do hear that there is contract negotiations, and they're speaking about it, so it's looking like it's going to happen, is what I've heard. The ESPN show this morning before y'all, they broke it.
Yeah, I heard that right before we came on the air. So, I just wonder that, you know.
Thanks, Jason.
Jason, getting one thing, getting the cart in front of the horse, you know, okay, UConn has an opening at a very late date. What kind of ripple, Chuck, would this send through college basketball?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, they're that's one of those programs that Jim Calhoun still looms large over. And my guess would be whoever Jim Calhoun thinks should be the next coach if Dan Hurley were to leave. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know a lot about their program, just to be honest, in terms of who they might target. You know, when you look at what UConn's done over the years, they've hired Northeastern guys. I mean, you know, Dan Hurley's a Northeastern guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he understands that terrain and understands the people and knows how to talk to the fans and the media. And, you know, we played up there one year, and I'm just going to tell you, it's a different place. It's a long way from Arkansas.
Yeah.
It's a long way. We played in Hartford.
Okay.
But Connecticut's a long way from Arkansas. The Northeast is very, very different from many parts of the country. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Just every part of the country is different. That's why Brett Bielema couldn't succeed in the South. Every part of the country is different. So I don't know who they would pursue. I just have no idea. But I've wondered why the Lakers didn't move right away on J.J. Redick. It seemed like, you know, he was the obvious choice from the get-go. But for whatever reason, maybe this is the reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not happened, and so as each day's gone on, and I don't, you know, I'm not a, you know, big NBA rabid guy, but it did kind of make you wonder why they were so slow in pulling the trigger on him.
Yeah, I joked yesterday, kind of half joking, half serious. LeBron should just be a player coach. You know, I when's the last time we had someone that was a player coach? Not a former player, but he actually played on the roster and coached at the same time.
Bill Russell, and that might be too far, but that was the one that came to mind.
Pete Rose,
well,
it doesn't work.
Well,
but my point is, he's got both hands on the wheel with the Lakers.
He's a coach killer. And Redick is his podcast buddy, and Ryan texted and thinks it was a smokescreen all along. We'll see what actually plays out, but that's not going to work. The dynamic that they – and listen, I understand the ideology, if you want your coach to have a good relationship with the best player, i.e. Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan, i.e. Phil Jackson, Kobe Bryant, Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan, like those make sense. But when they've done a podcast about it and there's going to be preferential treatment, guys, I don't think that's going to work if it plays out like that.
There's always going to be preferential treatment for LeBron, whether you've done a podcast with him or not. They're in a catch-22 with LeBron right now. You're not going to win an NBA championship with LeBron being the cornerstone of what you're doing on the floor. We can argue about whether LeBron's the greatest player of all time, and those who believe he is can make a very strong case, and I'm not even going to get into that. But he's not now what he was then. And the idea that you are going to latch on to a 38 or 39-year-old LeBron James and ride your way to the NBA championship, that's not realistic. And they've got some supporting cast issues there. And I don't know exactly, you know, I'm not a big Lakers fan, but I know that LeBron can't do what LeBron once did.
Yep.
And so none of us can, you know, as you age. And so they're in a catch-22 there. And, you know, they're going to have to draft Bronny, or at least sign him. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to do it because LeBron's going to make them. So they're kind of in a spot right now where they two or three years from now, they'll probably be better off as a franchise. And that's no disrespect to arguably the greatest player that's ever played the game, even though I know it sounds disrespectful. I just think he's past his prime.
Oh,
And if they draft Bronny and give him a spot on that roster, they're not doing that because they're trying to get to the NBA Finals.
What the Lakers need is Cleveland to bail them out and bring him home for a year or two to close his career. There's been some mumblings of that. I don't know if that will happen, but I think they would welcome him with open arms because it would be their son coming back home.
They won't do it, but they need to do what the Cowboys did with Herschel Walker years ago and rebuild that franchise on everything they can get for him. They're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. But as great as he is, that's holding them back right now.
Yeah. Let's stay on basketball, but let's come back here to Fayetteville with what's going on with our program. Trevin Brazile, Chuck, we haven't necessarily gotten your thoughts since this went down. This was, I think, surprising to some. Some people thought it might happen. Announced, re-energized, he's back.
Refocused.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
I was a little surprised, mm-hmm. only because lots of times when a new coach comes in, it's out with the old and in with the new. And lots of coaches do it that way. And I didn't know exactly what this approach would be, to be perfectly honest. And look, Trevin Brazile is a terrific player. We've not been able to see him at his best consistently, at least for very long.
Yeah.
He's not been on the floor enough to be coached hard. I'm not going to sit here and say that Musk didn't coach him hard. Musk coached everybody hard. But when a guy's unavailable to be on the practice floor, it's hard to coach him hard. Difficult to coach him hard. And you need him out there. I don't know where he fits into the pecking order. I don't know. That'll all sort itself out. He'll sort it out with the other players on the floor, and they are ultimately the ones who will decide. But I'm glad he's back. I think it's terrific.
Tommy made a great point yesterday with the change of talent that you're going to see in practice. Not like we know how last year teams played. Now, not that they weren't initially individually talented in some cases. It just didn't mesh. I think that's going to be beneficial for Trevin. I mean, Tommy, you pointed this out, going up against Big Z, going up against Jonas Adu, going up against the Arrow.
Oh, somebody, sure it will.
But
the first order of business is being out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's the first order of business. You've got to be available.
And on that subject, so we know he tore his ACL 2 years ago. We know he was hampered last year. You should also remember, I think it was the first 8 games in Columbia his freshman year that he missed. So he's been injured every year, unfortunately, of his college career.
See, I think you're touching on something there that's important, because I don't think at any point last year did we see a Trevin Brazile that was anywhere close to being 100%.
Yep.
There was at no point. No point.
The best we've ever seen him, I guess, was probably in Hawaii, and that stretch when he made some fantastic athletic plays. And clearly the reason he's back, first and foremost, is because the NBA didn't give him the grade and the report he needed to move forward with his draft and his place in that draft. There wasn't a place for him. So I'm of the belief, Chuck, that, yes, he could go other places and probably garner more minutes than maybe he'll get at Arkansas, but the quality of the competition and the practices that are coming under John Calipari will do nothing from a Trevin Brazile standpoint but make him a better player. Oh, playing no with question. Better players is going to get him more NBA ready than no most question. Any other situation he could be in college basketball.
It's no question, and it will help him a lot. And look, he got a little bit of a reality check. There's a long way to go.
Yep.
Not to say he won't get there, but there's a long way to go for all of them. there's a longer way to go than they think. And, yes, he'll benefit from all of that.
And I think for each player on this roster, not just a guy like Trevin, but the three freshmen coming in, the three Kentucky players, and then and Adu and Davis, just kind of what they envision their roles being, which I'm going to find interesting to just how they adjust. So you've got three Kentucky players. You've got one, I guess, returning Arkansas guy, which we didn't think there was going to be any, to be honest, but I guess you have one coming back. And then you have, like, it's a good mix, right? And how Cal, like, we've got some tough competition that awaits the Razorbacks in non-conference play. We've mentioned them going to New York to play that game. We've talked about the whatever the ACC. I think it's going to be Duke. So I think there's a possibility of Duke being on your schedule, Michigan being on your schedule, maybe still a home-and-home that's out there that hasn't been mentioned. So they're going to get tested early. They'll probably – I'm not going to sit here and tell they're going to win all those games. So it'll be curious to see what the team looks like at the beginning of the year and their roles then versus in the back end of conference play.
Well, I think one thing we know is that eight or nine guys are going to play, and that's going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know that. Roles will be defined as we go along. And, you know, nine may turn into eight, and eight may turn into seven. You know, you just never know. But, I was looking at a stat. Mike Kaywood put it together. It was really good. All four of the final four teams last year, none of them had more than eight players that averaged 10 minutes. All of the 1 and 2 seeds in all the regionals, none of them had more than eight players that averaged 10 minutes. Seven of the Elite Eight teams only had eight players that averaged 10 minutes or more. And I think North Carolina and Duke had seven. So we know there's not going to be that many guys play. But you're right about roles being defined among the ones that do.
Yeah, and I'd love to know the average age of some of those teams. You know, how many players they had north of 22 years old, because that's becoming more and more of a factor is the physical age. I know that with COVID we've messed up what year they're in, and a guy may be a junior, but he's 23. So I think the actual age of these rosters have probably went up a year and a half, maybe 2 years, Chuck.
Well, you think about it. We said during COVID, there's going to be some things that don't ever go back. I think basketball players, 22, 23, 24 years old, football players, baseball players, I think that's one of those things that's never going back. Particularly now with, NIL as we see it today and revenue sharing that's coming. What's going to end up happening is when a guy stops playing college sports, he's essentially getting fired.
Bam.
So. Because his income's going away.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more info.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of their over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Let's talk about this baseball team, kind of what happened this weekend since we didn't get a chance to catch up with you on Tuesday. Tom, when you look at kind of how things played out down the stretch, pitching, I know Hagen Smith didn't end it great. What was your maybe biggest takeaway for how they ended the regular and postseason?
What I always find interesting is Dave Van Horn just kind of lays it out there. And what he said was that, you know, we started showing cracks in our pitching, which meant, you know, the weeks where Tiger and Molina weren't going as deep. And then Tiger must have been, you know, talking about an issue with his shoulder. And so we'd go out there and pitch, but maybe he wasn't feeling exactly right. And they couldn't find anything that was structurally wrong, but you know, he kept doing that, and you know, you could tell that frustrated Dave a little bit. And so they go up to the Kentucky series, and that happens, and then you know, the Mississippi State series here, which they won. And when they won that series, it made me think, okay, they're not doing great. The hitting, clutch hitting's not in shape, but they can get through a regional. And then they went to A&M and same thing, and then the Hoover, you know, did, you know, they hit a little bit more, but the pitching was sketchy. But then I still thought Kansas State, they didn't look like a particularly dangerous, you know, three seed, and Louisiana Tech just doesn't have the experience in these types of things. I didn't think they were a dangerous, super dangerous two seed. And then it just, all those elements cropped up, you know. They score a bunch of runs to beat Simo in the opener, but, you know, the pitching in game two wasn't, you know, I mean, Hagen completely out of character. Fifth inning for him, which was just unreal. The way everything kind of stacked up, walk, and both of them on 3-2 counts, and then, you know, a flare hit, bounce over the first baseman's head, and then a 3-run homer. And that's the kind of thing Arkansas had not been doing to people very much down the stretch. And then, of course, Simo was hot at the very end and just didn't score a bunch of runs. So all the worries, all the concerns that had been building up, just all kind of magnified right here in this regional, and led to the loss.
Yeah. Tom, we've had text and maybe a handful of calls from what I think is the fringe part of the audience. Some calling for, you know, not necessarily a change with Dave, but a change in the assistant staff. I don't get the sense or the feel that there's anything on that horizon. I mean, I don't hear anyone around the program or really anyone that would have maybe a say in the matter really speaking this way. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm with you. I'm not getting the sense that anything would happen. I mean, unless a job came open somewhere and Matt Hobbs or Nate Thompson couldn't turn it down, or even Bobby Wernis, that, you know, was a pay raise or, you know, just a head coaching position somewhere. And Nate Thompson certainly has had some offers. But I don't think anything's going to happen there. obviously the pitching side was a lot better this year than the hitting. And you know, Andrew Hutchinson didn't ask directly, will you make a change with a pitching coach? I think he said, would you consider a change of philosophy? And Dave Van Horn ran with that in terms of that Nate Thompson's always studying video, always like coming up with the analytic ways to look at people's swings. And I saw stats that Arkansas had one of the best line drive rates in the country. It's not the best line drive rate in the country. And line drive rates usually tend to good hitting teams that find gaps and all that kind of stuff. So maybe this was just a strange year with the analytics. And then he transitioned that into say, we need more athletic players and, you know, guys that can hit and run, you know, and jump and all those kinds of things. And so, and how they've been hit by the draft with their signees. So it's always a delicate mix in the level of draftee or the level of signee that you have and what they're what they expect if they're going to be drafted and signed, and then the ones that you feel like you can keep and the ones that you're going to have to battle, you know, not to lose. And they've lost some of those. So look, Arkansas was ranked in the top five all year long. They got cold at the wrong time of year this year, and obviously it hit them last year with TCU coming in here. But the program, I don't know if anybody in the country would, you know, very few teams in the country would change places with the type of success Arkansas has had over the last half decade or 6-7 years. It just hasn't resulted in a national championship. And, you know, Mississippi State, yeah, they won one. Ole Miss, they won one. And then they fell off. And so Arkansas stayed on, and you just wish they'd won in 18. And this would be a lot more tolerable, what's happening.
Tom Murphy with us here on the McCarty Daniel Hotline with Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, to shift gears to basketball, Trevin Brazil announces he's coming back. I think some, like myself, were surprised in the news. What could you envision Trevin Brazil being for this basketball team this year?
Yeah, it was a surprise. And I think, based on what we've seen with the roster composition, that Brazil could stay out on the perimeter more than he did. I mean, they needed him to rebound more with last year's team. And I think after the knee tweak, he was a little bit tentative about just getting in there and taking a lot of banging and landing on people's feet and the kind of things that can happen. And so his game, he's got a perimeter shot. He can drive. He can rebound. And if he's feeling better about his knee, he's got kind of that all-around deal. And with his length, he can be a good defender. So this is a big pickup for the Razorbacks. I think he wants to have a much better year to lead into a potential draft situation after what happened to him. So maybe if they could get a super healthy year out of Brazil, he would be a fine piece for this roster.
And DJ Wagner gets announced yesterday officially. Cal said 8 or 9 several times. He said it during, I believe, the first time they talked with us at the local media session, the big time, and then also recently in Sandestin. You think he's truly done with this roster, or is there a chance he might add one more guy?
Well, why wouldn't he add one more guy if he's a super good piece? I mean, I think we could all look back on last year and think that maybe there was more guys who felt like they needed to be playing than what Eric Musselman would have preferred. And so that's why you saw the vast, times where they're on the bench, where they're coming off the bench, or they're not playing very much between guys like Battle and Davenport and really a bunch of different guys, Makai Mitchell even. And so I think Cal, you get the sense that he'd prefer to have that nucleus 9. And if it goes up to 10, well, you know, go out there and earn your playing time, guys. So he may be on the brink of saying we're good and maybe just take a few guys who know they're not going to play a lot or try to get one more big-time guy in. I mean, you wouldn't turn that down. There's no sense in if a guy wants to come here and you recruit him hard, why you would not let them be here and compete for a spot in the top 10 or 11 on your team.
Yeah. Tom, let's switch sports, but talk about new personnel. There was an FCS All-American kicker, Kyle Ramsey, came from Abilene Christian. That's join the Arkansas football team. Tell us what you know about this new addition for Sam Pittman and his special teams.
Well, don't know a ton yet, but based on the kicking and the wind, because, you know, I thought Stipley, the kid from Hawaii, I mean, he's got a great career as a clutch kicker. And when it wasn't windy, he kicked pretty well. But, man, when they got in that kind of that wind tunnel at the stadium, you saw some of those kicks going all over. And Vito Calvaruso, great leg, but the same thing with him. And so, you know, hey, get in there and compete. I guess if you can get a guy who's 75 to 80%, who's going to make up to 52, 53, you're in good shape. And I don't know if they felt they had that, even though Shipley's, you know, previous career shows he can do it. So we'll see. I'm sure it's going to be a competition in fall, and whoever comes out of the most consistent is probably going to be the guy who wins the job.
Yeah. Tom Murphy with us here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. We're, you know, quickly shifting into summer with it being June. I know this is going to be a busy month for camps, for the coaches. They'll hit a dead period at the end of the month. And then, you know, before we turn around, Tom, we're going to have our eyes on an August camp. And, well, SEC Media Days, then an August camp.
Yeah, we will. And the calendar, as you guys know, has shrunk in recent years. And one thing leads to the next, and you've heard it from football coaches how they just didn't have much of a natural time to get time off. But June, there's a little bit of time in June. That's their time, maybe in July. It revolves around pretty fast, y'all. And next time I speak, I would love to talk to you guys how I feel about what the Coastal Carolina coach said about NIL. It's incredible where we're headed. And Tommy, you and I basically predicted this 4 years ago, five, when NIL was coming in, what it might turn into. And it has, maybe beyond their worst nightmare.
Tom, we'll leave it there, man. Appreciate you jumping in. Glad you had a good time on Tuesday. And we'll talk a little Super Regional College World Series and months, hopefully some basketball news next week.
All right, I like it. See ya.
All right, Tom Murphy with us here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Time slow down, Chuck. I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that we're in the year 2024 and it's already June, but this calendar is more compact, as Tom was saying, than ever before. And, you know, for us, it seems that way. For the coaches, I'm sure it's magnified even more.
Yeah, it's all year round now. And again, with the transfer portal, with the way it is now, and NIL and all kinds of stuff, it's a day-to-day deal. Even when you're off, you're not off. I mean, you may be with your family somewhere, but you're still on the job. If something happens with your football team or your basketball team, you may be there physically, but mentally you're back home. And I think that's one of the things with these guys and a lot of people that work in and around it is the mental break never goes away. Physically, you may be able to go somewhere for a little while, but mentally, you know, you always have to be on point.
Guys, I want to take a break from sports for a sec. I had forgotten until I woke up this morning. I always just kind of get on Twitter to see what's going on and maybe if something I missed because I'm an early, I guess, bed person now, going to bed about 8:30. But D-Day was today, way back when. Stormed the beaches of Normandy in France and big turning point of the, I guess, of the war. I loved during, I guess, high school and to an extent college U.S. history. This is one of the most pivotal moments from our history and maybe the greatest generation to ever do it. But I just wanted, we've got a text or two on the McLarty Daniel Hotline about that. So I think it'd be important. I know this is a sports show for the most part, but I think it's a cool factoid of sorts from this United States history to mention.
I was watching the news on Sunday morning, that CBS Sunday Morning News, whatever it is, that kind of a magazine show, and they were talking with one of the veterans that had been there. And, you know, one of the things that struck me, that the millions that served in World War II, but there's less than 100,000 World War II vets still alive today. And my grandfather was, he wasn't in Normandy, but he was in World War II. And, you know, it was the greatest generation, but they're quickly, you know, fading on us. And they'd all be around 100 years old now, Chuck. But, you know, my grandfather never talked much about it. I think those are a lot of stories they didn't want to come back and really tell.
You're right. And if you're of a certain age and you're not as familiar with that generation as maybe some, Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest Generation, I'm not going to tell you it's a literary masterpiece, but if you want to know about that generation, if you want to read stories about the people that really made our country what it is today, for better or worse, go back and read those. They're moving.
They put the country back on its feet. We forget there was
a
depression.
They put the world back on its feet.
Right. Well, that's probably a better way to put it. But, you know, we were going through the Great Depression, then the war, and a lot of the economic challenges in this country that, you know, happened in the 30s were still here when, you know, they came back from war. And they went to work on the infrastructure, and I know there was some, you know, talking about a lot of the WPA and all those type of projects and a lot of things that we see here in our own state, but it was that generation and their backbreaking labor and the infrastructure that was built that put our country economically back on solid footing, because even after the war, it wasn't great.
Nope, it was not. So just wanted to mention that this morning. Had a few textures about it. So way back when, again, one of the most important parts, and Chuck, I think you framed it best. It wasn't just in United States history, but world history for that matter. Yeah.
You think you got it tough. You go back and see things those folks, not just in the war, but just everyday life here in America was, it was a much different, much tougher place.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Daniel Gafford has been terrific for the Dallas Mavericks so far this postseason. He has been a huge asset since they traded for him earlier on February the 8th, averaging a little over double-digit points, shooting 61%. Been a big part, not just on the offensive end, but defensive end. He talked about kind of his role on the Mavericks right now.
Come in, just have energy, set the tone defensively, and just finish everything around the basket whenever the guys threw the ball to you, because those guys, they put a lot of trust in me when they throw me the ball. Always, every now and then, in a position to where I'm playmaking, trying to just find ways to just kind of like build my craft and just show the things that I can do just like on a play-by-play basis. So it's just, you know, it helps me just kind of like extend just like my career and just how I want to just be known as a player. I want to be known as a playmaker. I want to be known as a defensive anchor. I want to be known as a lot of things in this league. So at the end of the day, I just, you know, had to just kind of like be patient, let the game come to me. And that's exactly what happened for me.
Sounds like a guy that's excited for tonight, doesn't it, fellas?
I want to tell you what I hear there. A grown man. I interviewed Daniel many times. He didn't talk like that. He didn't speak like that. That's a confident man right there. And that's what I hear. I just hear grown up.
Yeah.
And somebody who's come into their own.
He looks physically, and Tommy, you reffed him in high school. You always reference, I mean, what he looked like, a junior, senior in El Dorado. Or what he's not just a grown man from a mental standpoint, Chuck, but physically, man, he is 7 years later, he looks vastly different.
Yeah, and, you know, to piggyback on what Chuck was saying, because I was thinking the same thing, a lot of athletes, when a microphone's put in their face, don't always orate or tell the story of their thoughts or their perspective as well as Daniel just did there at 25 years old. And that's what I heard was, hey, here's an athlete I actually want to hear more from, because, you know, the confidence in his voice and the way he represented himself, I thought was above average there.
You know, people ask me a lot about remembering games and moments and things like that. That is not what I remember. What I remember are what these kids are like when they're here, and then what they're like later. To me, that's the best part of the whole job, is to watch a kid like Daniel Gafford and remember what it was like then and listen to him now. It's remarkable. And one of the things we take for granted as fans sometimes is we get to witness that. We kind of watch these kids grow up before our eyes. I think about Bobby Portis. You know, and kids that, I mean, when we talk about their dreams coming true, I don't know that we really understand exactly what that phrase fully means. But you think about Daniel Gafford, and I know some about his background, and the people from El Dorado and that part of our state do too. And, man, you want to talk about a kid whose dreams have come true and whose life has changed and his family's life has changed. And just to hear him talk and to see him play, I couldn't be happier for Daniel Gafford. And I'm glad he's playing for the Dallas Mavericks, and he's the reason I'm pulling for him.
Just a kid from Hagen Hill, as he referred to himself, talking with Kenny, Chuck, and those guys on the NBA tonight. So, yeah, I'm with you. Even though they beat the Thunder, I'm still going for the Dallas Mavericks moving forward. And you think about that matchup. So I would say that from a, like, Boston's got the wings. Dallas has got the guards. Dallas probably has the big men with him and Lively. And that's where that's the X factor in this series. If they can beat up on Horford, Porzingis is coming back, Cornette, whoever else they throw in there. I think Gafford and Lively have the advantage the next seven games if it goes to that.
They got Luka, baby. They got Luka and they got Kyrie. And that's what I think will win them the series. Although Boston may win game one.
Ultimately, my end up being in favor of the Dallas Mavericks. All right, yeah. Still basketball-wise, staying. We'll go back to what's going on here in Fayetteville. Trevin Brazil announced he's coming back. We know that. Some other news concerning your basketball program. We hadn't mentioned this yet. Guys, it sounds like, according to Rocco Miller, who covers college basketball, Oakland is coming to Bud Walton Arena on December the 30th. Yeah. Greg Campy. Now, this was talked about pre-Oakland, Kentucky. Campy and Cal apparently have been friends for a number of years. Definitely different resumes. Campy's been Oakland since 84, which is just wild to me. Now, Arkansas's played Oakland before, the last time I think in 2011. But even after last season, it sounds like Cal wants another crack at this guy.
And that is Oakland, Michigan, for yes. those who don't for those who don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're coming. It'll be fun. It'll be fun for fans, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of recollection about what happened before. And oh, I'll bet you John Calipari wants to beat him, too.
Yeah, I bet so. He likes to joke about when him and Nolan played back in the day. And
he always reminds you who won,
or when Arkansas yeah. played.
Hey, I know lots of coaches that do that. Yeah,
well, and this is a chance for him to redeem a loss on his record. So
exactly.
Don't think there isn't a little motivation in scheduling that for that reason.
Also, Chuck, we didn't ask you, December the 10th, according to Jeff Goodman, we're going to talk to one of his co-workers, John Fanta, coming up in about 10 minutes, Field of 68. Apparently, the NYC game against Michigan is going to be on December the 10th in Madison Square Garden. So, which is, again, right before Christmas time. Tommy, I kind of agree with your thoughts yesterday. That might be a pre-Christmas trip for some people.
Now, have they set that for sure? I've seen 10th, 11th, 12th. I've seen all kinds of stuff.
Goodman.
The 10th is a Sunday, right?
It's a Tuesday.
The 11th, Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, Goodman is reported. That, it doesn't mean it's factual, but Goodman.
I know.
Goodman's reporting the 10th, which is a Tuesday. Now, my birthday happens to be the next day, turning the big 3-0. You would think that a commendable boss like Tommy
Kraft. You'd think they think about that when it comes to scheduling as well.
Yeah, well, I'm curious to see what ends up being
official. I'll text you some photos from Rockefeller Plaza of me and Chuck when we go. So.
That's just mean-spirited on your part.
Well, you tell Mrs. Kraft we're not going then. You tell Laura we're not going.
I'll stay away from that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Just to recap the basketball news this week, Trevin Brazil is coming back. DJ Wagner officially signs with Arkansas. Multiple reports out there when the actual game between Michigan's going to be in Madison Square Garden. And you're going to be playing Oakland, it sounds like, in the January. I think the most important on that list is Trevin Brazil. And, guys, I forgot about this report that when Brazil initially entered the portal back following his Missouri time, Cal had contacted him. And they've had a relationship, I guess, since then. Evidently, it made enough. Tommy, I want to kind of go back to a point you made either yesterday or earlier this week. I think Trevin probably had to convince Cal that he was worth the investment of this roster because, like, if you're only going to have nine guys, it's even a smaller room for error, in my opinion, to not hit on one of those guys. And evidently, whatever Trevin may or may not have said to Cal and his staff caused them to think, you know what, this is our final piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I don't know this, but, you know, this was the point I was making a couple of days ago, is who recruited who here? And I think Trevin probably had to do more selling of himself, his attitude, what he'll bring to the table, effort level, the health of his knee, and that he is ready to go and participate, and how he can enhance the team and not be anything that would take away from what Cal's trying to put together with this roster. So, Chuck, I may be way off base, but I would imagine Trevin had to do some selling himself to get one of these spots.
Well, I think it's fair to assume they both probably had to figure out if it was the right fit. And, you know, I'm sure everybody tried to put their best foot forward. I think it'd be certainly fair to say that. I don't know who recruited whom. I have no idea on how all that worked, but I'm sure that everybody needed to make sure that, you know, there was a fit and that things were going to be okay off the floor and on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, we think about what we didn't see last year with Trevin, and I think one of the first things we got to think about is the health of that knee. I mean, he's obviously coming back because there's not a place in the NBA for him yet. And he wants there to be a place at some point, and maybe Arkansas is the place. But I think that knee, and is it fully ready to go, is, Ty, something that can't be dismissed.
I can't identify with college Division I Power 5 prospects or players often, but in this case, as someone that's torn his ACL, it takes you much longer than not just a year recovery time, but then that next year. It's a 2 or 3 year process in some cases. And I remember when I tore mine, I was terrified playing at the Hyper, even kind of getting back into it. It's just a feel. And then once he does that, because I don't expect him to take a step back from last season. And it's not like, I mean, he was averaged, like, I think it was like 8-6, shooting like 48%. But it was also, I think there was pressure on him also to be the focal point of this offense this past year. And I know that Musk said several times the expectation of him being an all-SEC guy would just didn't pan out. That's not the expectation for him this year, I don't think.
First off, he played on a team that wasn't very good. Second off, he played for a team that unraveled down the stretch. I think if you were around it every day, you could feel every thread as it unraveled. And the inevitability was very apparent, you know, by the time we were at the end of January. And I think all those things combined for just a bad year. Mm-hmm. And I think Trevin Brazil, kind of like everybody else who was in the midst of that bad year, suffered as a result of that. I'm sure he's got a new lease on life. There are lots of people at Bud Walton Arena that have new leases on life right now. And that goes to fit. Now, whether or not that was the deciding factor, I doubt it. But I'm sure Trevin Brazil feels like he's got something to prove. And again, I think there are lots of people in that arena right now that feel like they've got something to prove. And I think that's great.
And the head coach.
Starting with the head coach.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's my point.
Being the most notable of it. I do find it. And Tommy, you're right on the idea that we shouldn't always listen to national people or what they think. But I just think it's hysterical how some of these national radio hosts or TV people that like don't know the history of Arkansas basketball think that Cal, just because they didn't have a good season last year, is going to a wasteland. And we know that to be false.
Well, that's all right. Yeah. Let them think that.
Yeah. But I do. So when we look at the composition of the roster, you got three freshmen, right? Three, four, five-star freshmen, depending on what service you follow. You got two transfers in John L. Davis and Jonas Adu. You've got three Kentucky guys, and then you've got one Arkansas guy. I didn't think an Arkansas guy would come back. We have it. And you look at kind of the positions. You got three ball handlers. You got Boogie Flan, Wagner, and John L. Then you've got three kind of wings in Thierro, Richmond, and Knox, and then three, four, fives kind of with Big Z, Brazil, and Adu. That's a decent mix. It's not like oversaturated, overpopulated one another. He kind of set it up where it's 3-3-3, basically.
You've got the pieces to the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got to put it together. Now you've got to figure out how everything fits. We know who the guys are going to be, save for the walk-ons. We're not going to see them play in the games much anyway. We know what the pieces are now. And now the process of building a team begins. And that includes on the floor, off the floor, 24-7. You're building a team. And that process will continue right up until the season tips off and on through the season. So, to me, the most encouraging part of all this now is that there is, and I've got to believe that, you know, this played a role in maybe Trevin's thoughts, too. There feels like there's some stability. There feels like, to me anyway, that these guys as a staff, as a program, they're getting their feet underneath them, so to speak. They know who their players are. They know what the schedule essentially is going to be. We don't know it all yet, but according to Coach Cal, they've got a pretty good idea of what he said down in Florida. So it just feels like now that with every day that passes, it's becoming more and more his program, and we see his stamp. And I think that's part of the process, and it's happening very quickly.
Yeah. Tommy, you brought up the aspect of something to prove, and you mentioned maybe the head coach is the most known. I would agree on that because – and I don't know how Cal's going to approach this relative to how Eric Musselman did. Mus would use it publicly and mention it publicly. Cal may be more of a private guy when it comes to that. But even at 65 years old, you still have things you want to do and want to improve. And we've talked about how it ended at Kentucky, and he's spoken openly. Maybe I should have taken the UCLA job earlier than I should have. But you can just tell based on some of the reaction that people are not all 100% sold on this thing working in Fayetteville.
Do what now? Some people are
people.
What?
Are not. I'm not talking about fans. Outsiders looking at Cal and Fayetteville are not sold this is 100% going to pan out.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't even pay attention to that. I mean, who cares?
Yeah. So, you know, you talk about things to prove. I mean, and let's just go back to Trevin Brazil for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's a guy that clearly went off to find out what his NBA status was, went to the combine, and didn't get the answers he was looking for. He's back here with something to prove. I think, you know, he probably had a few other options on the table. I don't know that. That's a guess on my part, but I think I'd be safe in guessing that. But I think the thing with Trevin in Arkansas is you just think about the roster construction and the competition in practice, and, you know, getting better requires you to be around better players. And he's going to have a chance to do that day in, day out, beginning one of those summer or preseason practices begin, Chuck. I know they get a number of them, and I think it's somewhere in August that they'll have some workouts. You know, iron sharpens iron, to borrow the cliche, but I think that the thing with Trevin, he's around the right organization, the right coaches, and the right competition. If he's going to get to the NBA, I like his odds just because of who he'll be practicing against, more so than who he'll play against.
He'll get better every day in practice. Now, you know, he's still got to do it himself if he's going to get to the NBA. But and he's got a long way to go, just like all of them do. All of them have a much longer trek than they think. But he's got that possibility, and absolutely he'll get, you know, he'll get better for it, no doubt about it.
Yeah. My point was, yeah, you could go off somewhere and be a starter, maybe be the star of the team. But being at Arkansas, maybe trying to fight your way into that 7 or 8 man rotation here would serve you better than being, you know, being the centerpiece of a team somewhere else.
Well, we don't know yet how good he is because he's just not been available enough yet. I don't think Trevin knows how good he can be yet. I think we're about to find out. I suspect he's going to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And you made a point. So let's go back. Let's look at the 2 years real quick. And John Fan is about to join us on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. I think when you look at, think about 2 years ago when he's playing with quality players, AB, Jordan Walsh, Nick Schmidt. Like, think about what he did in Maui, what you talked about earlier, Tommy. And then last year when he's playing with lesser talent and a team that was disorganized and disarray, even when he came back from injury, just wasn't going to work. There's a stark difference between the two. And I know the competition might have been a little harder in SEC play. I tend to think that he's also going to be better, just as you said, play with competition based on what I've seen with my own eyes the last 2 years. When he played with better competition on his own team, we saw his capability. We saw what he could be. Last year, not so much. And coming off that ACL didn't help any things either.
Well, again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. He just played on a team that wasn't very good and a team that unraveled down the stretch. And I wouldn't put too much stock in a kid's performance necessarily in a situation like that. That is part of the aspect. Again, I'm sure he's got something to prove. But it got bad, you know, toward the end of last year. And I think that he, like a lot of those guys, suffered from that. And I would expect Trevin to be a much, much different player when, you know, they're out on the floor, whenever that is. I'm sure they're doing as much as they're allowed to do right now.
To the McCarty Daniel Hotline we go. We got about 5 or 6 minutes with John Fana, Field of 68, and Fox College basketball analyst. John, I'll start with just the roster, what you have in front of you. You've kind of looked at it, diagnosed it, recently wrote a story on Cal. What do you think of the makeup so far?
Hey, guys. Good morning. It's great to be with you. Yeah, I like what we're seeing, and I think that John Calipari talking about how he wants to adapt is the thing that comes to mind most, because, you know, when he suffers that loss to Oakland in the NCAA tournament, he says in that moment, well, I don't know if I want to change, and I don't know if I want to do that. He was sort of back and forth at that point. But I think what you're looking at right now is you get Trayvon Brazil back, who's a versatile piece and was coming off an injury from the previous season last year, and that's a guy who's a veteran and you know, understands the program, and I think it's going to be a key piece to this team. John L. Davis is as tough as they come. You know, when Cal picked up John L. Davis, that immediately made me think, well, that Arkansas just got better significantly, because that's a guy who can average around 17, 18 points per game, is a tough, hard-nosed guard who knows what it takes to win at the highest level. Very good defensively, you know, on the offensive end of the floor. He's hit so many big shots in his career. Jonas Adu, when you play at Tennessee, you're going to be tough. You're going to be hard-nosed. You're going to be physical. And that's a guy who's going to help them a lot in the front court. So I like what they did in the portal. I liked what he did in the portal. The key question is simple. How much of a leap are we going to see, you know, from DJ Wagner, from Big Z, Zvonimir Ivicic, and from Adutero? Because if those guys are taking a leap under Cal, obviously they're following him. They're following him. Is he able to get fully in touch with those guys' player development and get them to take that leap? And then, to that point, how will Boogie Fland and DJ Wagner and John L. Davis and company, how will they all coexist? Because if you're going to look at this backcourt, you've got some big names. And Davis has been an alpha at FAU. Bland is this five-star recruit who I've had a bunch on the circuit, fast, has burst, can score it. How do they all coexist?
John, on you talking about the roster there, and you also mentioned kind of Oakland from the jump. What do you think about Cal reportedly adding that game with Greg Campy and the Razorbacks at the end of December? Seems like he wants to get them back for what happened this past NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think he does. And you know, wouldn't we all? I mean, you're motivated. You want to get back at somebody. I will also tell you guys, Campy's one of the good guys. You know, I thought he came off extremely well during the NCAA tournament. And you know, he's got such a charm factor, such a great personality, but he's one of the good guys. You know, I could tell you that in my time covering the sport, you know, I don't know Greg well, but I can't tell you how many people have said to me, Greg can't be such a great guy, such a great coach. And so I think if I'm Campy, obviously you take the game. It's terrific publicity. It only adds to the storyline. If I'm Cal, my competitive fever wants to play you again. You know, they lost some of their key pieces. Golkey is no more. So I respect Cal for scheduling the game. I love that Campy, he never is afraid to take on a challenge. It's a home run, in my opinion. And it if you're going to add a game of that nature, you want it to have some sort of publicity buzz. And that game will definitely have that.
John, real quick before we let you go, we got about 30 seconds. Your thoughts on Cal changing his philosophy to basically just recruiting 8 or 9 scholarship players as we end our conversation?
You know, I do not mind it. I would add one more, mm-hmm. but I'm okay with it. And I'm going to tell you why. Right now, some coaches are doing 11, 12 players. There's only one basketball guy. Your organizational culture, your locker room culture can get threatened by that. Because, again, there's only one ball. There's only one system. You can't run multiple things or too much when you've got a 40-minute game. So I'm okay with his approach because I do think I'd rather have 9 than have 12 and trying to figure out how I'm going to keep everybody happy, because guess what? You're not going to be able to in the latter.
John, we'll leave it there. Appreciate your time joining us, and we'll see what happens as we get closer to college basketball season coming up this October.
Happy to join you guys anytime. I appreciate you.
That is John Fanto of Field 68 and Fox Sports giving his latest thoughts on Cal. He's got a good article on Cal. Calls Cal the most compelling story in off-season basketball right now in college.
Yeah, and you know, as far as the end of this roster, we know what it's going to look like, as Cal's told us, you know, that it's going to be walk-ons that get the scholarship and, you know, not going to get the NIL money. So I think we know what's ahead as far as these final few spots, and John talks about there being just the one ball. They'll figure that part out, but I think we, as far as what's left to come, players 11, 12, 13, I think we know exactly
I still
what
agree with John,
expect.
Though, at the tail end. I think they should add one more guy. I'm a big add one center guy. I know Cal said 8 or 9. If you add one more player, I would be okay with that.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.